good morning or almost afternoon. We're very close to the afternoon. So I'm Adrian Cairns. I'll be chairing the session today. So we're going to be hearing from Estelle Liu, who's the head of retirement for AMP. You know, Estelle's had a very interesting career already. She's, you know, worked across various super funds and different roles. We caught up last week, and probably two things struck me was, A, how incredibly enthusiastic she is about this retirement space, the product she's offering, the solutions for her members, but also versus pretty much everyone I've talked to who works in retirement, she's much further away from retirement than everyone else. So I expect a very different perspective today and really looking forward to hear from it. So remember to put questions into the system and we can ask them, or also welcome questions up at the microphone. And yeah, I'll hand over to Estelle. So
thanks so much, Adrian. Yes, I'm actually not that far away from retirement because I want to retire early. So, you know, retirement is a personal thing, as we all know. Thanks so much for the introduction. So, yes, my name is Estelle Liu, for those who don't know me. I am currently the head of retirement solution at AMP. So working in retirement, my favorite space, and also talking about today, my favorite topic about how to improve members' retirement confidence. So, yes, so for those who don't know, AMP actually have two funds. So we have a wealth fund on a platform side distributed by advisors. And we also have another fund, AMP Super, who is distributed, direct to consumer offering, where we have employer plans and also personal plan as well. So today I'll be talking about the solutions, the approach that we're taking actually on both sides of the fund, which is allow us to actually really see the broad range of situation that retirees are facing. Okay. So I thought it's always good to start with our retirement income strategy, the overarching strategy that covers both funds. Retirement is personal. And then we really believe that retirement is definitely more than just a product solution. So it does, with the foundation, you know, really importantly, the investment performance delivered to the member, and also looking at a holistic way of all the different combination of income sources that members will be getting in retirement. So on the far left, so you see the lifetime income, which is an income stream to deliver an income for life for member intuitively. So we shall spend a little bit more time to talk about today. The second one, it's a flexible income stream, which most of you probably will be very familiar with because it's currently being addressed by almost all super funds through account-based pension, because members have the flexibility to draw down an amount that they want to throughout retirement. And then the third column there is the age pension. So age pension is quite an important element in retirement income. As Carrie's also mentioned in the earlier presentation as well, so it does play a key role for a lot of people in retirement. In fact, more than 70% of Australians are entitled to some or part of a full age pension at some point in their retirement, right? So it's an income stream that cannot be ignored. And last but not least, any other income, of course, outside super that the members have. So it is really about combination of all of that, considering all this holistic situation. And then we're not saying that, oh, you should always choose one or the other. It's actually the power is when you're able to combine all these sort of income streams to optimize the outcome for a member. And then beyond that, it is also, very importantly, the help guidance advice that how do you deliver this solution to member to allow them to understand. So the challenges, how to help them address their retirement goals. So with that, so I'll probably start with a very quick overview of how, you know, the retirement income space has been evolving. So obviously we know that, you know, there has been this change of framing of, you know, retirement is actually about converting the lump sum that you're accumulating over your working life now to an income that you can enjoy in retirement. So without going into a lot of details, so already several years back, so where, you know, the concept of a retirement income stream, innovative income streams was first introduced. There's several iterations in terms of what it's called, what does it actually do. And this government incentive being introduced to actually enable and encourage the innovation in the space and the take up of that space. And in 2022, with the introduction of retirement income covenant, which really requires formally like all trustee and super funds need to actually provide a solution to address the three key objectives of members facing in retirement, right? So without going into detail, obviously maximizing income, accessibility, and also how do you manage the sustainability of the income streams? What is the risk of that into retirement? And exactly with all of that, so we as a fund, we're trying to utilize with the government incentive and then also making sure that we're able to address the members' needs by introducing, innovating in this space. So about 3 years ago, so on the advice platform side of the business, we launched Minos Lifetime, which is a whole suite of the lifetime solution to advise members. Obviously, so members can only take it up through advice. And then about a month ago, we actually now launched the AMP Super side of the lifetime solution. So where it is a direct-to-consumer offering that members do not require an advisor to be able to take it up. Obviously, because of that key difference, the way that we design the two solutions are also very, very different. So the advice offering is probably the only open architect solution where advisor can actually pick and choose all the different building blocks they want to construct a lifetime solution for their clients. Versus the AMP super version, we're trying to make it as simple as possible. Obviously, taking out all the benefits and the advantage, the best part of what Minos Lifetime have, and then trying to translate it into something very simple and be able to understood by members without the help of a comprehensive financial advisor. Okay, so what are we trying to solve? So what is the problem? So why do we need a lifetime solution, right? So some of you may heard of this term about fear of running out, FOMO, which is there's a teenager version of that, which is FOMO. You're probably more familiar with that. So it is a fear of running out in approaching retirement and also in retirement where people actually don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. They don't know what they don't know, and they don't know whether there will be future needs of more expenditure. It's actually not so much about, oh, actually, I think I'm going to live longer. It's actually the opposite to that. So we know back in 2017 with the retirement income review, right? So one of the key observations is that majority of Australians put 100% of their super money into account as pension and they draw down at the minimum. That is not an efficient way of converting their lump sum into income streams to consume in retirement. And that the purpose of super is not to leave a massive bequest to their beneficiary either. Well, they should be able to use that to enjoy a better living standard in retirement. And also, we looked at our historical data as well. So on looking at the AMP data across both funds, so about 50% of members historically draw down at the minimum level, with or without advice, about 50%. So I'll talk to you a little bit more as well. And then a lot of consumer research we did, and also drawing on what the industry actually looked at, concluded that actually most people do not intend to leave most of their money in super to the inheritance. And then one of the drivers for drawing down at a minimum is because of the uncertainty. They're unsure about how much they can spend, right? Which is the definition of FORO. And when we talk to our members about how long do you think you need to plan for retirement, the answer we often get is that, oh, maybe 10 years or 15 years. That's how they see. They don't actually think about, oh, because I need to plan for my retirement for 30 years, that's why I'm drawing down lower. It's actually not so much about longevity. It's about the uncertainty that comes with that. They don't know what they don't know. So obviously with that, there's obviously a gaps about education, about longevity literacy, about financial literacy that we need to make sure we address, which is part of the consideration as we design the health guidance advice to help members understand this piece. But mainly because, okay, with the fear of running out. So this is really the key problem that we're trying to address. So then how do we address the fear of running out for members? So which is through the lifetime solution I'm going to introduce you to. So I'll start with Mindless Lifetime because we launched that about 3 years ago. We actually do have a lot of data that we're able to talk to. So as I mentioned, it's an open architecture solution where it allows the advisor to pick and choose any of the investment options on the platform menu, ranging from a single index to a managed portfolio to a balanced fund and anything on the platform that people can do. So it does provide a lot of flexibility. Then, of course, with flexibility, it comes some of the complexity, so which the advisor need to be able to provide a comprehensive advice strategy for their members, but is obviously not suitable if it's direct to consumer. So the Lifetime suite of solution actually contains three accounts. So it has the Lifetime Income account in the pension phase, which is on the far right. So that is the one that converts lump sum into an income stream. And then we also have a Lifetime Super account, which is on the far left side, which enable members to, it is essentially a deferred purchase into a lifetime income streams when they are still in accumulation phase. So it does provide some centering benefit for members, incentive for members. And then we have in between a deferred one, which is really addressing the gaps between when members meet a conditional release, but they're not ready to retire and start an income yet, so they can defer that starting date to later time. So I think the combination of that, right? So a lot of the feedback, 3 years in the market, a lot of feedback we received from an advisor was that the conversation about retirement is actually quite complex. No one is denying that. But having the Lifetime Super account is enabling the conversation about retirement, a meaningful conversation about retirement, to brought forward, because it's an easier starting point to talk about, okay, this is, you know, one thing that you can think about now to do. You don't have to make all the decisions just yet, but these are the considerations. So, you know, when you're ready, then we can have that further conversation. It does bring forward that conversation much earlier than otherwise. So, and since launch, obviously, we also were very proud to see won a lot of awards. So when we first launched, won the Chainwest Innovation Awards, and then 2 years in a row won the best lifetime product in the market. And then it is the best rated, the highest rated lifetime product in the market at the moment. And then also being a key part of the platform offering, it also helped MyNorth's platform won the best advice product of the year as well. So which we're very proud about. So if I just share with you a little bit of a take-up data today. So we have about 2,000 accounts. Almost 3 years. And then about 450 million invested in MyNorth's lifetime. And then if we counted for also the amount invested by the clients, on the platform, not MyNorth lifetime, that is actually 580 million. And we have about 340 financial advisors recommended MyNorth's lifetime today. And then the typical average improvements of the income that members receive through having lifetime is as much as over 50%. And then the 50% was delivered through three areas. One is through a higher lifetime rate, because obviously with lifetime solution is a better, more efficient way of converting your lump sum into an income stream compared to self-insurance, for example, through just drawing down. And then a higher Centrelink eligibility as well through all the concession the government provide for innovative income stream. And last but not least, there's a behavioral impact that once their fear of running out is being addressed, they have the confidence to draw down more from their other account, which is account-based pension, to move away from the minimum level. So I'll unpack that a little bit more. And approximately 90% of the members are benefited from the Centrelink uplift, because the majority of them will be eligible at one point in retirement anyway. But then having that uplift actually provide them a further incentive as well. And then we observe them from the data, but we also try to talk to our members through the advisors to understand, okay, so they are drawing down more, but are they actually spending more and enjoying a better living standard? Which we got a lot of the positive confirmation from members that they are actually able to spend more and feel more confident. And then for one particular member, which, you know, I really resonate about because I really want to retire early as well, is because that, you know, he was able to retire 6 years earlier from a job that he actually no longer enjoy. So these are the kind of uplift and benefit that we think is quite meaningful and significant for our members' outcome. So if I unpack that 50% a little bit further, obviously it comes from the three sources I mentioned. So in this chart, so I try to basically break them down into age group because obviously the minimum drawdown rate is different for different age group. And then to compare, basically in each of the age group, on the left, we have members who without the lifetime solution. And on the right, we have members with lifetime solution. And you can instantly see the difference in terms of the income that they're getting, right? But then the income they're getting is not really only coming from the fact that they have a higher lifetime rate because of the conversion. Because if you unpack that, so the members who with lifetime actually also drawing down a lot more from their account-based pension. So we have this before and after comparison as well. And then on average, they're drawing down 28% higher. And if you look at it closely, so I mentioned to you the stats that 50% of our members are drawing down at minimum. It's actually true across both AMP Super and also the wealth fund. Initially, I was a bit surprised because I thought, you know, for clients who have an advisor, they should have more confidence to draw down more. But obviously, there are also legitimate reasons for probably a higher balance member to draw down at the minimum because they don't actually need that much. But the majority of that's actually coming from the fact that, yeah, so, you know, from an advisor point of view, it probably can address a lot of the other problem, but we still have this fixed pot of money that I will be running out one day. So they need some solution to help them address that. And then if you looked at the members with lifetime, so 75% of them actually joined down higher than the minimum. So that is a significant increase and difference in terms of drawdown behavior that we observe from that. And we validate from, again, talking to the advisor to understand, you know, what is driving that. And then the key problem or the key concern is being addressed is the fear of running out. Because I have this income stream that is not going to run out. So it's going to last for a lifetime. And then I also allocate the other proportion of my money into account-based pension, which allow me to actually draw down more because, you know, I know that the other income streams will last, right? So it's quite a powerful message because it is the combination of those two together, plus the age pension, plus your other, you know, asset and income outside super that give you the power. So it's not one or the other. It's a combination of that. So giving members the confidence, I think, to retire early, to spend more, have some tax savings, and also if they're able to actually draw down, keeping everything's fixed or having higher income from a more efficient way of converting lump sum into income stream, they're able to draw down less if they want to, which means that, you know, their balance doesn't necessarily have to deplete as quickly either, and Centrelink benefit as well. So now if I unpack a little bit about, okay, so the lifetime income, so what does it look like? So we provide a whole lot of, you know, set of tools and then helps to the advisor to be able to have this conversation. So this is just an example of one of our tools provided to an advisor. So the conversation goes, okay, so without, also with, so what are the difference actually result in the outcome that member will see? And obviously they can, a lot of the conversation with the starting point of a 50-50 allocation as an unbiased starting point, because obviously, so whether they should put in 50 or 60 or 20, it actually depends on the individual circumstances. So, and then the advisor can play around with the calculators or the tools that got provided to by including all this additional information to provide the advice to the clients regarding to that. And in fact, I don't have the slides here, but we did look at the allocations of the of our client books across that memberships, you know, how much do people allocate? And then is there any pattern that, you know, higher balance member or lower balance member allocate differently? It's actually no. is actually quite diverse across. Even though the starting point of the conversation is 50%, we see everywhere. So from 0 to 100% and then through, very low balance or to very high balance. Because there's always this question about, so you have the information in the system, but there's also things that's not in the system. Like there are other assets, there are other super. And then making assumption about, oh, this low balance member here is going to do this. It's actually not sufficient. So, and then also for members who put in 100%, so when we talk to the member to understand, do we really want to do this? It's actually revealed to us that their spouse is putting 100% in a countless pension, which together means a 50-50 allocation. So things like that, it's really giving us a really good understanding about the. It's really personal. So everything is different. And then there's no really one size fit all. And also it's very hard to say, okay, you fit in this bucket, you fit in that bucket based on the limited information that we have. It has to be personal in that way. And then, so probably talk a little bit about the super phase. So the super phase, as I mentioned, it does help members if they start early, thinking early about this, give them an early advantage to start accruing some age pension potential, age pension benefit. Because it's not guaranteed, because it's the ultimate assessment depends on, what else do they have and whether it is asset test binding or income test binding is quite complex. But starting early, it does give them the chance that, you can potentially be benefit from it because of the fact that it is considered as a deferral purchase. And deferral purchase of a lifetime income solution, your purchase amount is accruing at the current government deeming rate, which is 2.25%, instead of their actual investment return. So over the long term, the difference between that two can create a Centrelink benefit. And of course, even without this, if they put in some money into a lifetime pension, they will have the 40% discount anyway, right? So it just it does them, increase that discount even further from 40%. It can be as much as 100% in some cases. But obviously, that is when the asset test is binding. But if the income test is binding, then this one is not effective. So there's a number of different building blocks that comes into that. So I won't get into a lot of detail, but, this is essentially saying how it works in the background for the member to be able to start thinking about retirement early on. And when they get to retirement, so having some allocation into a lifetime income streams does give them this benefit and more incentive to do that. So if you try to bring them all together, right? So without lifetime, so obviously that their account-based pension can run out one day. So their residual income after they run out will be relying solely on age pension. And then their death benefit, if they, pass away early on, of course, it's very high because it's the account balance. And then if they pass away after the account is, run out, then there's no more death benefit left. That's just typical. But if they do use, allocate 50-50 in this case for illustration purposes into lifetime income streams and an account-based pension, you can see that it does start to basically uplift the residual income even after your account-based pension run out. So you're going to have a higher income. And then, of course, the trade-off there is a death benefit, lower death benefit, because there's always a trade-off. But then as you becoming more and more advanced in using lifetime by combining the different building blocks and then planning early and then, utilizing the lifetime super approach and et cetera. So it could be the scenario for the member that they will be having a lifetime income streams and then the account-based pension will be lasting for much longer. And then at death, it doesn't mean that they will have lower residual benefit as well. So it is the power of combining all of that together to enable and uplift to the member outcomes in all these different aspects as well. So again, coming back to really giving people the confidence they can retire early if they want to, and then they can spend more with confidence that the money will last. And then they do have all of these other incentives to help them better managing their retirement income. How are we going with time? Okay, pretty good. All right, then I started rushing through. And then as I mentioned a month ago, we also launched the simple version of this on AMP Super. And then, 1 month in, so as I said, trying to make it very simple. So it doesn't really have a lot of the bells and whistles that the Minos Lifetime have, but it just picked out the most important bits. So the Lifetime Super feature is an add-on feature. So when it's launched, we actually was able to give it to all choice member automatically. There's no extra cost to it. And it is just, it's a feature that members can, once it's activated, it will start accruing that potential Centrelink benefit in the background. Nothing else changed for them. And then the intention was actually to be able to give it to everybody, of course, but then under the current legislation, because my super is considered as a different superannuation interest to an innovative income stream, so that cannot be concurrent. But we, talking to APRA actively and then looking into this space, and they is very supportive with the approach that we're taking as well. So in the interim, so my super member can opt in, but choice member actually got it automatically when they join. And then again, similarly, so we'll provide all the help, guidance, and advice along the way. This is the first point in time of the conversation about retirement, which bring really that conversation much early on. And it will build on, journey to actually talk to them more meaningfully about what it means. And then leading up to retirement, when they need to actually make the decision about the allocation, they're supported by the help, guidance, advice, the tools that they need to be able to do that. And then, so we launched on 19th of May. And then on the 21st of May, on the Chairman's Night, we won the Innovation Award. Because of the fact that I think how Chairman's Awards actually really focused on the uplift to members' outcome at scale. So this is the first deferred lifetime solution launched in the market that was able to apply at scale to members without extra cost. So overnight, we have over 140,000 members and then about 17 billion. So if you consider compared to the Minos lifetime sold through advisor one by one, 3 years in, we have about 380 million. And we have 17 billion in there. So I'll just reemphasize again, it does really, the key elements here is that bring forward that meaningful conversation about retirement with member, because you're offering them an incentive to be curious about, okay, what does it do for me? Obviously, we provide a case study and then we have a landing page, a lifetime that you can look at. To provide members with understanding. But at the end of the day, we're really trying to encourage members to use the tools that we provide them to personalize it, see how this actually applies to you, because everyone is very different. And then retirement is personal. So providing help, guidance, and advice with no extra cost is really what we're trying to do to help members with their retirement. And then we also wanted to look at, okay, so is this lifetime really just going to benefit, one or two member or a small cohort of members? So we engage an independent consulting group to actually analyze that with our membership. So the conclusion is that obviously, assumption driven as well. So we do expect that it's going to cover about 94% of memberships still with the uplift, because there are groups of members where their income test is more binding, which means they're not going to get so much benefit from the asset test. And then their income test kicked in, which means they have higher income from lifetime, they got less from age pension, et cetera, et cetera. But it is likely as a whole to provide an uplift to members at a large scale as well. Yep. And then again, supported by Public Calculator and DigiAdvice. So as I mentioned, so we do really want to focus on making sure that the information and then the guidance advice we're providing to members are actually understandable. So which means that we do invest in member testing throughout the design of our calculator and trying to design, I think, along the journey of, where is the right place to actually include some education. Just the right amount, not too much, just the right amount to teach them about you should plan for, 30 plus years. Do you realize that? And then, this is the stats. Does it resonate with you? No, it doesn't. Okay. A lot of people actually was quite surprised when that information was presented to them, which is not a surprise to us. But, that does really help them start thinking about it in a more meaningful way. So yeah, so I'll probably pause here. So that's the content that I wanted to cover, and then happy to answer any questions from the room.
All right, thank you, Estelle. That was very, very informative and very interesting. So please do pop in the questions. I suppose I'll add, well, we get some more questions in, and I'll try and read them because they're very small, the writing. Given my old age, like, I look at that and I just think it's a no-brainer for consumers. Like, it seems like you invest in the product, you get a better asset test outcome, you still get access to the savings during the accumulation phase and everything else. Is there actually any downsides to doing it for the consumer, is what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, what's the catch? So if there's a fee, then there will be a downside. But I think we're able to design in a way that there's no extra cost and there's no obligation either. Because obviously it's a deferral purchase into a lifetime income solution. It does help frame that conversation to allow people to think about, consider lifetime solution, which is the bigger challenge that we have in the industry. But it doesn't have any obligation. So if members decide, actually, no, it's not for me, and then they move away from it, there's no impact. And there's no impact to their balance. It is what they will get is just, you know, the same as they never have this feature turned on. So I think that is one of the key elements that we're trying to emphasize to members as well. But what I wanted to emphasize also is that because of the fact that it is a deferral purchase into the retirement, members do need to be aware of the conditional release rule. So when they meet a conditional release, they need to make a certain election and things like that. That has been the focus on our communication disclosure to make sure that people don't miss that window when they do meet conditional release to make a decision, because otherwise that they will be missing out on the benefit that otherwise they will be able to entitle to. A number of that. So really help also emphasize the education parts as well.
All right, thank you. So we got a few questions coming through. So firstly, from Phil there in the front row, you know, he's wondering, is this a soft default annuity effectively? And I guess he's also giving you congratulations on providing such a great advantage to your members. So what he is wondering about, is it a soft default annuity?
I think the definition of soft default is very different. So I wouldn't say so much about soft default, because it doesn't really default members to anything. So, but it does provide a strong incentive and nudge for people to think about this. And at the point of time in retirement, so we do provide illustration. And as I mentioned, so the illustration provides an unbiased starting point of a 50-50 allocation. It's really to allow people to think about that. And then they can change it up and down. But without an active election, we're not defaulting members into anything. Or we can't either, right? But it does provide a stronger approach to have this conversation with member.
All righty. There's a question here about for AMP. This is from Tim Jenkins. For AMP North, how has the product altered member retention and attraction?
We would like to think so, because obviously we offer it to members so that they if they really think that this is a long-term benefit to them, then they should keep on with it, right? But then because there's no fee attached to that, so for members, if they leave, they're not losing anything either. So as much as, you know, we would love it to be, I think, you know, there's no really binding or basically locking in for members if they do change their mind, say, oh, this is not for me. And for the AMP super site, so we only just launched it. We don't really have the data to suggest whether they have changed retention or not. So,
right. Good one here, Ren. So you've obviously launched the direct product. People are curious as to, like, what is actually reduced around the complexity of that to make it suitable for a direct sale versus the advised version.
Yeah. So I think the super one is probably simple enough. So because it's just a feature you switch on. So the difference between the Minos is is actually a different product. So for the AMP Super, it's not a separate product. It's actually built on the existing Signature Super, so AMP Super Accumulation Account. So it's a feature you can switch on. And then simple enough, log into your member account, and then you can just opt in if you don't have it yet. And then that's as simple it is. For the pension phase, so which I didn't talk a lot about because we're launching the pension phase in 2026. So I think it is a lifetime income stream. So we're really converting the conversation from a lump sum of balance. My loss account, there's a balance, but then we're removing the balance and saying this is an income stream that pay you a paycheck for life. And then once you're in there, so there's an income stream, obviously. So we offer money back guarantee for death benefit, withdrawal benefit for change of mind, and also to address the peace of mind that if I pass away next year, I'm not going to get anything back. And that is a big hurdle and for this kind of solution. So we do offer money back, death benefit, money back, withdrawal benefit. And then, but then we changing the conversation to this is the income stream for life. It does move up and move down with the performance of the pool because you have 30 plus years in retirement. Then it is beneficial to have some growth in there as well. And the reference for Australian is account-based pension. People are used to, I think, the investment up and down when they join at the minimum, right? So it's not a new thing for them that suddenly, compared to other jurisdiction where the starting point is like a, you know, fully guaranteed DB income stream. So,
all righty. So I've got a couple more questions. So from James, it's a long question, I'll shorten it. It's sort of, I suppose, challenging. Are the numbers too good to be true around some of the sort of long-term income outcomes? And then challenging, you know, are some of the results you've seen around higher spend rates more sort of an environmental factor where people are spending more because of the cost of living in recent times versus longer term? Have you any thoughts on that?
That's a really good question. So I think 2 points to that. First of all, so even without the government incentive, we will launch lifetime pension because it is, as I mentioned, it is an efficient way of converting retirement savings into an income streams. So the starting payment, the starting income rate for a 65 years old, I think 7.4% something versus 5% you draw down from the minimum level. The other point about the spending, right? Is it because of, you know, higher, living pressure and things like that? That is also why when we see the data, we do validate it with the member. So rather than just looking at data and making an assumption, oh yeah, people are just, you know, spending more because they're more happy now. So we did actually look into the data and then talk to advisors, talk to members to actually understand, so are they actually able to spend more? Which is where I draw on some of the persona on the slides about the real feedback that we got from members that they are feeling more confident to draw down more now.
All right. Two questions are sort of linked, but I'll go with the first one. You know, how come someone's curious as to why it's only the choice members getting this benefit and not the default members in the MySuper product?
Good question. So the intention, as I mentioned, is to give it to everybody because no extra cost, but it's under the current legislation that we can't give this feature to MySuper member because MySuper is a specific super interest and it can't be held concurrently with a deferred lifetime income stream. So that is the only reason why. But there's no choice, there's no cost involved with it. So we are actually running some campaign, I think, in the coming months or so to help educate basically my super member, which is the least engaged membership, about the benefit of opting in. But we are in active conversation with the regulators as well because they're very supportive with this launch and also trying to actively look for ways to actually help addressing that. So it can be actually offered to everybody.
That's good. And then the last question is, if someone forgets to elect to switch, do they, I guess, miss out on the benefit longer term?
Obviously, because of the difference of the deeming versus the actual investment return, it does mean that the longer you're in there, the more potential benefit you're going to get. So obviously, if members did not elect, we can't really do more, you know. So we can try as much as possible to help, you know, people so understand the benefit of it. But there will be people who know there's a benefit, but they prefer not to do it. So it is always that scenario, which the benefit can't be backdated if that is the questions. So it has to be from the point of time when it is activated, either by the automatic or it's by the election.
All right, thank you. Well, we heard from Peter Chunt this morning about an invite to join UniSuper. Estelle's given us all a reason to think about joining AMP Super so we can get our long-term asset test benefits. So congratulations for a great presentation and thank you very much for everyone for joining.